more than welcome to have a seat, everybody. Before we pray, some of you might not recognize me. I am that tall guy with the long hair. So if you want to blame anyone, blame Delilah. She came to visit me last night. Now all my hair's gone. So now I know what Samson felt like. So actually the whole reason I grew out my hair was to donate it to cancer, and Maricel helped me to cut it off. We cut 9 ponytails, eh? Yeah. And I weighed it. It's 150 grams worth of hair. That's a lot of hair. My head feels so much lighter now. But yeah, so it's for a good cause. So if you're mad, be mad at Delilah, not me. All right. But today we're going to be talking about forgiveness anyway. So before we start, let's just pray. Lord, thank you for this amazing day, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be the one to speak to us today. Lord, make our hearts receptive to what you want to teach us and to what you have to say to us, Lord. Lord, help us to not be stuck in our own ways, Lord. Help us to constantly renew our minds and to continuously learn from you and to continuously better our lives, Lord. Lord, we love you. We bless you. Amen. I hope everyone's doing well. Just say hi to Slinky quickly. Slinky's going to help me a bit later. He's kind of important, but not that much. But I want to start off with a story, a short story. So there was a hiker, right? Went up this mountain and he was walking, he was enjoying his life. It was lacquer. And eventually he got a bit hungry, so he decided he's gonna sit on a rock, have some snacks, and he's just gonna rest. And as he sat there, started eating his raisins and then came to the peanuts, and then when he wanted to take a bite of his lacquer tuna sandwich, he just felt a sharp pain on his leg. And this guy looked down and he saw a snake. Now he got a big fright, but he was super angry. So this guy jumps up, the snake starts sailing away, and he runs after the snake, starts yelling at the snake, throwing it with rocks, and the snake eventually goes into a bush, and he stands there by the bush, and he can't reach the snake, and he starts yelling at the bush. He says, "Why did you do that? Why would you bite me? I didn't even do anything to you. You just bit me for no reason. You know how much I'd hurt? You look at me, I'm bleeding." And he yelled, and he yelled, and he swore at the thing, and he shook the bush, and eventually this guy felt a bit lightheaded, a bit woozy. Eventually he passed out, and passed away, because what he hadn't realized is that the snake that bit him was venomous. And as it was yelling, as it was screaming, he allowed that venom to spread more and more and quicker and quicker. Alternatively, what this guy could have done, he could have calmed down, sat there on the rock, taken a piece of cloth, wrapped it around his leg as a tourniquet to block some of the blood flow. He could have phoned an ambulance or a helicopter to come pick him up. He could have made his way down to his car, get to the doctor himself. There's many things he could have done. But he could have gone to the doctor to get the antidote so that the venom would get out of his system. And we all have this similar stories in our lives where people hurt us and we have the snake bite that's hurting and we're walking around with venom and some of us have gone to the doctor. But this is the process of forgiveness. It's going to the doctor. But we have our own preconceptions of what forgiveness is and what it isn't, and everybody has their own opinions. But I want us to look at what it is. But in order for us to know what it is, we have to start with what it's not. Because we have certain understandings of what we think it is, when in reality it's not that. First thing I want to look at, it's not forgetting the sin. Okay? So in Hebrews 8 verse 12, God says, "And I will forgive their wickedness and never again remember their sins." Now you're yelling at me, you're saying, "Mark, you're lying to me. You said we're not forgetting, but God is forgetting." It's not. Remember means to be able to bring to one's mind, to go back and fetch it and bring it to the now. It means that you can go and you can be stuck in it. Now God doesn't remember. In other words, he doesn't forget either. It's there, but he's choosing not to go back to it. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, but it's still there, it's still in the west, it's still far that side. It's not gone. So when the snake bites you, you're not going to forget that snake, but it's going to leave a scar. That scar is going to be there forever, right? Or until you use tissue oil, it helps, by the way, for scars. So it's going to remind us of the past. But we can do one of two things when we look at that scar. We can either remember the snake, and we can remember the pain, we can stay stuck there, or we can remember how nice the doctor was, that he gave me a lollipop afterwards, and that was so nice, you know, I feel better now. So we can be in one of those two boats. Another thing it's not is it's not reconciliation. Reconciliation means to rebuild a broken relationship. Okay? So someone comes, your friend, they break your trust. And now you're wondering, what's going on? What am I going to do? Do I have to be friends with them again? What do I need to do? We, in our minds, we think that we have to become friends with them before we can forgive them. But that's not necessarily true. Because let's say someone works for you and they steal from you. Okay? And now you go, you sit, you have a conversation with them, you say, listen, you stole from me, I can't allow you to work with me. But I forgive you, but you can't work with me anymore. Have you truly forgiven them? Because now there's no reconciliation. Okay? Or if someone has passed away, a parent that hurt you, a friend that hurt you, a colleague, someone, they passed away, and you can't become friends with them because they've passed away. So how will you be able to forgive them if you can't be friends with them? You see, it's the opposite way around. Forgiveness allows for reconciliation. You see, because we don't take the snake to the doctor and say, this is the snake that bit me. Snake, tell him everything you've done to me, please. You know, we're friends now. Please tell the doctor what you did to me. Right? It's backwards. I go to the doctor and I say, yeah, listen, I need healing. Okay, Mr. Snake, you see, you bit me there. I'm not going to sit on that rock again. Okay, so please don't bite me again. So you don't have to be friends first. Forgiveness allows for that, but that's not a requirement. It's not tolerating the sin. Okay? So it is super healthy to set up boundaries. Okay? A little line that people don't cross. Okay, so your boundary should always be set out of wisdom and not spite. And it should be to your benefit as well as the person who trespasses against you. It should be to both parties' benefit. You can't spite the one so that the other can have good things, right? So a couple of examples. An abusive father. Let's say you grew up with an abusive father. And he hit you, but you grew up and he grew up and he found the Lord and he started getting better and healthier and he doesn't do that anymore and he's repented and he's doing great now. And you have your own kids. Now you go visit grandpa and you remember, because remember the snake bite's still there, you remember what he did, okay? Because you haven't forgotten. Now you can set up a boundary. You can say, listen, dad, we'll come visit you, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to sit in the living room with you. I'm just going to supervise. You don't have to sit there and control your dad's movements and say, no, don't touch him like that. Okay, no, sit on the couch. I'll put him on your lap. Nothing like that, right? But you can sit there. Because what if you're not there and your child comes to you and says, granddad hit me when he never did? What's your first instinct going to be? Oh, he's still abusive. We're not going to be friends with you ever again. We're never going to come visit you. Or what if you are there and he then hits your child? You can then react according to that. Okay, so there's all these different things that we need to look at. But a healthy boundary then would be, I'm just going to supervise. Or a mother who constantly shows up at your house, right? Let's say you're still a mama's boy, and she's still a boy's mama. You know, she wants to spend time with you and doesn't want to let go of a little boy. And you as the wife, you're there, you're cooking up a storm for the family, and all of a sudden your mother-in-law shows up, and she comes in the kitchen and she says, what smells so funny? And you're like, no, you're not cooking it right. No, why are you using a wooden spoon? Use the silicon spoon. Why are you using stainless steel pan? Use a non-stick pan. And then she says, why is your cat running without pants? Why is this floor not clean? Why are you not living like the way that I'm living, you know? Your mother is in intruding into your life and controlling your household, which is not right. Why? The husband and wife will leave their father and mother and they will become one, a new flesh, their own separate family. Not under their parents anymore, but under a new covenant with God. So what boundary can you set up there? You take mom's keys away. Simple as that. She can't come into your house anymore, right? She has to phone you beforehand. Hey, mom, are you going to come visit? Yes, no, okay, bye. And then you can arrange like that, okay? It's healthy, it helps both people. Or a friend broke your trust. They hurt you. Do you immediately just disregard them as a friend? Do you just push them to the side and never speak to them again? Or when they come and they say sorry, do you like immediately trust them 100% with everything again? Of course not. Both are two extremes. Where's the balance? listen, you broke my trust. I've forgiven you. But I'm not going to trust you with this big thing again. I'll trust you slowly, but surely. Small thing with small thing with small thing until that's built up again. Because the thing with trust is the perpetrator, the guy that hurt me, they have the responsibility to earn back my trust. But I have the responsibility to allow them to earn back that trust. I can't expect them to build back trust, but I don't want them to earn my trust. That's like running into a wall. You're not going to get anywhere. It's not Harry Potter. You're not going to go to a different world, right? It's not seeking revenge. Romans 12, verse 19, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. So says the Lord. We don't get to go to the bush and grab the snake by the neck and start swinging it around and using it as a jump rope and hoying it wherever we want to. That's for God to sort out. He was a burning bush once. That snake's not going to live long. Right? So we don't have to worry about the snake. We know what's going to happen to the snake. Okay? So it's not for us to take revenge. It's not sweeping it under the carpet. We don't minimize the thing that happened to us. Whether it's this big snake like Slinky that bit me, or if it was a small snake, it doesn't matter. If the snake bit me, the snake bit me. If I ignore it, the venom's still there. The snake bite's still there. So we have to recognize the fact that it hurt. We can't just say, oh, it's just a small bite, I'll be okay, and then you start limping, and then 2 days later, somebody sees that your leg is looking funny, and then all of a sudden, you have to go to the doctor because now they have to cut it off. You right? Because you ignored the pain. If you stand there by the bush, whether you yell at the snake or whether you ignore the snake bite, that venom's still going to make its way through your brain, through your body. You're going to wonder why the venom's killing you. All right? So there's a couple of examples of what it isn't. Now let's go take a look at what it is. So first thing is that it's a choice. It's not a feeling. You're never going to feel, you know what, I think it's a good time to forgive that person. I feel healthy now. We can forgive that person, right? Because you're not going to wait for your snake bite to be healthy before you go to the doctor, right? That snake bite is ouchy, so now I'm going to the doctor. I get my healing, and then I can go forgive out of a choice, not a feeling. It's letting the person off your hook and putting them onto God's hook. So it's a very old saying that, oh, you're on the hook now. You know, all the old people, you'll know this, right? So imagine them being a fish and you caught them and now you're pulling them in. You know, you're going to punish them, you're going to take them out of the water and make like a biltong, fish biltong, right? So in a sense, being caught on someone's hook means that you're caught in a bad situation or you owe them something. And the moment somebody hurts me, immediately I think, you owe me something. You owe me what you've done to me, I need to do to you. You need to get that back. So what this means is I take the debt that they owe me, the pain that they did to me, and I give it to God. And I say, God, you deal with them, right? Because it's better for SARS to come after you for your taxes than me trying to come after you for your taxes, right? You're not going to pay me for your taxes, but SARS, you're going to pay them. They're going to come after you, you see. It's allowing God to be who he is, a God of justice. So when we take them off the hook, this is what happens. We allow God to be who he is. In Deuteronomy 32, it says, he is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. So one of two things will happen here. One day when we're all in front of God, either they'll stand in front of him and face full judgment of everything that they've done. Or, if they're saved, Jesus will take their place because he already paid for their sins. And whether that's fair to you, that's justice, you see. Because it's not up to me. It's not for me to determine, because earlier we said vengeance is the Lord's. It's not for us. We don't get to take revenge. Because the same mercy that you want from Jesus, when you stand in front of him and you want to be forgiven, you should want that for them as well. All right? Part of forgiveness is accepting the consequences of their actions. Now, this is not fair. I really don't like this. Mark fights with this. I don't like this, I want to punch them and I want to punch the bite and it's not nice. But the fact is the snake bit me on the leg. And it's my responsibility to go to the doctor, right? Again, I can't take the snake and take him to the doctor and say, you're going to pay my medical bills. You're going to make sure you tell the doctor where you bit me and what venom you have and what's going on in your life. It's up to me. I need to go to the doctor. I need to get healing. Because you can either live in the freedom of forgiveness or you can die in the bitterness of unforgiveness. You have those two choices, but that choice is yours. Because you are the one that has to suffer the consequences, unfortunately. Okay, so now we've seen what it is. Everybody know more or less what forgiveness is. Yes, no? Amen. Boo, go away, Mark. You're boring us. All right. Let's look at why we forgive. Why is it so important for us to forgive? In 1 John 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love a God who we cannot see? That is some powerful, strong words from the Bible. If you say that you love God, but you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're a liar, then you don't love God. Because how can you love God if you can't see him, but you hate someone that you can see? It doesn't make logical sense, right? Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. This is where Jesus prays. He gives us the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name, give us our bread, we're hungry, that whole prayer, right? But the important thing he says here is, forgive us as we have forgiven. In other words, when I have forgiven, Lord, please forgive me. When I have loved my brother, love me. Because we don't get to do this one thing and expect this thing. You can't play soccer with rugby rules. Yeah. You can't pick up the ball and start running and push it through. They're going to wonder what's going on with you. They're going to kick you off the field. If you want to play God's game, you've got to play his game by his rules. All right? I want to tell a little story. Everybody knows this story. It's in Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35, if you want to go read for yourself. I'm just going to quickly tell the story. So there was a king one time who decided, you know what, it's time to collect the tax. He was like Sarsh at the time. He wanted the people that owed him money to come pay him back now. And he started calling all his servants, and this one came up. Let's just call him Peter for now. Peter came to him. If there's a Peter here, I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you. Peter came to him, and he told Peter, listen, bro, you owe me 10,000 talents. Okay, I'll tell you the amount of everything. Like, I did some quick math on what it would cost today, but I'll get to that part. He said, you owed me 10,000 talents. And this guy fell on his feet and said, yo, I can't pay you back. And the king said, well, you know what? I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell your wife. I'm going to sell your kids. And whatever I can get from that is what it is. And this guy started weeping. He started crying. He said, no, please. Please be patient with me. I'll pay you back everything I owe. Now, this king, amazing king, by the way, he was so compassionate. He said, you know what? Scrap the debt. Don't care. You don't owe me anything. Go. Be free. Be happy. And this guy is happy. Peter's jumping up and down. He's doing backflips. Bomla Kisi's says, yeah, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. There was no gymnastic classes back then, but he can do it. So he goes out the door, and he remembers that Kwesi owes him money. So he runs to Kwesi. He says, Kwesi, you owe me money. You owe me 100 denarii. Okay? And this Kwesi says, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I'll pay you back. Don't worry, don't worry. And this guy grabs him. Peter grabs Kwesi by the throat and he says, no, you're going to pay me, you're going to pay me now. And Kwesi falls to his feet. He says, please be patient with me. I'll pay you back everything I owe. And Kwesi, this guy's like, no, you're not going to pay me back. So he takes him. No, Peter takes Kwesi and he throws Kwesi in jail until he can pay back what he owed Peter. And when the other servants heard this, they were mad. They were, this is not right. It's not right. So they go to the king. They tell the king the whole story. And the king calls Peter and he says, Peter, what's going on, boy? And he says, no, nothing, nothing. Everything's good. I'm happy. And he says, no, but I heard this story that you threw one of your brothers in prison for owing you money. And I can just imagine like how white this guy's face is at this moment, like the fear that he must have felt. And the king said to him, you wicked, wicked servant. I have forgiven you an enormous debt and you couldn't even show that same love to your brother. Right? So, 10,000 talents is a lot of money. Okay, so one talent is around 6,000 denarii. And one denarii is about a day's wage. And I did some rough calculations. Okay, if we work on an eight-hour shift, 5 days a week with minimum wage, Peter owed 13,819,200,000 rand. Okay, so that is 13 with nine zeros. Okay, that's a lot of money. That's like a mega corporation. And Kwesi owed Peter 32,000 rand. Okay, not even 0.01%. Okay. So we need to understand that we are Peter. We're the ones with the 14 billion rand debt to God. We owe all of that to him. But when Jesus came, he has forgiven us of that debt. So we can go to our Kwesis and we can say, it's okay. In Luke 7 verse 47, I tell you her sins, and they are many. They have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. So a bit of context. There was a lady who came to Jesus. She started pouring all of her expensive perfumes and oils in this like a bowl, and she started washing Jesus' feet with that, and then eventually she dried his feet with her hair. And Peter, I think it was Peter, one of the disciples, he got mad. And he said to this tani, he said, bruh, why are you wasting all of this oil? Why are you wasting all the perfume? It's expensive. We can sell this and give the money to the poor, to the hungry. Right? And to me, that seems logical. You know, it's good. It's a better way of using it. But Jesus said this, I tell you, her sins are many, and they've been forgiven. This lady knew she was the worst of all sinners, and she recognized the debt that she owed God. So what did she do? Everything that she had, it might not have been much physically, but her whole heart was in it. Lord, please, this is the way I want to honor you, because I want to repay you. Even though I can't repay you, I want to repay you. And Jesus recognized that. So she could love Jesus a lot because she was forgiven of much. But if you've only been forgiven of a clap on the hand, you know, you're not going to forgive someone for smacking you with a hammer. So it's different. Now I want you to imagine the story. Imagine the bank is after you. Okay, they want to take your house. They want to take your cat. They want to take your car. They want to take everything. They want to cut your grass and leave you with dirt. They want everything from you. And you're standing there, and you're saying to them, please, just give me some time. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. And you can't. Like, you can't. It's an enormous amount of debt. It's 13 billion rand. And your friend comes in from the side, and he says, you know what? Calm down. I'll pay it off. I'll pay your debt for you. And the bank gives you back your house. They give you back your cat. They shave the tail for some reason, but they gave it back to you. You know, you've got everything back. They put the grass right where it was. Everything is fine. How happy would you be knowing that you could have lost everything, but everything was restored to you? Would you then, if somebody borrowed your bicycle and got a puncture in the tire, would you be like, ah, don't worry about it. I'll put a new tube in, or you're going to say, hey, give me a new tire. You see? Because again, that relates to Peter and Kwesi. You are Peter with a big debt. Are you going to let Kwesi get away with that puncture tire? Or are you going to just take it and forgive him for it, and move on from it? Matthew 7, verse 1 to 2. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you'll be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard you will be judged by. Plain and simple. Everything we've said so far. If I want the snake to be punished, then I should also want that same punishment. If I want Kwesi to pay me back, then I need to pay back. Okay? Plain and simple. So, we've checked why we need to forgive. Now, let's do the when. Because the when is important. So, before we look at the when, we need to check some symptoms. We need to know what the snake bite is and what snake bit us and things like that and what to do. Because when we go to the doctor and we tell him, yeah, no, I don't have any symptoms, what's he going to say? Okay, go. I want my next client. He asks you, are you coughing? Are you sneezing? What's going on? So that he can give you the right medication. So how do we recognize it in ourselves? You're going to experience the past, the hurt, the smells, the pictures, the face, the fear, the anxiety. An example would be Quiz bullied you in high school. Okay, Quiz is now the bad guy again. Quiz bullied you in high school. And he used to like put your head in the dustbin and flush the toilet with your face in it and all those bad things. And he used to bully you and tease you and all these things. And you both graduate high school and he goes on with his life and you go on with your life. And 10 years later, you see him in Spar. And the moment you see him, you remember how that dustbin smelled. You remember the face running towards you. You remember the fear you felt. You remember the water rushing over your face. You remember everything vividly. But here's the key. All of that wells up into bitterness and resentment. Immediately you think, Chris, I hope you got something coming back to you. I hope you're so unsuccessful. I hope that you get a puncture every time you leave the house. You know? It's that bitterness, it's that resentment, that anger. That's the thing we should look at. If you have that in your heart, then you've got unforgiveness. You constantly wait for the wheel to turn, right? So you continuously want them to get what's coming to them. So who of you have had lunches stolen at work? I had, but not at this job. This job, the people are nice here, right? My previous job, they stole. So I'm gonna be very honest with you. I wanted to put like Nando's extra hot sauce on there. And then I heard Uncle James makes a mean chili. I want to put that chili on there, my broiki. And I wanted them to steal that so that they would know not to touch my broiki. You know? Don't touch my broiki. That is me forcing the wheel to turn. That is me taking it into my own hands, taking vengeance, taking revenge, making sure they get what's coming to them. Okay? Or when somebody skips a red light, everyone has seen this. So if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to fight you. Okay? Who's seen someone skip a red light? Do you skip them? Okay, this prayer is for you now. Okay? So then we pray, I hope that you get a puncture and you're late for work or that you run out of petrol. You know, we want God to punish them. God, sort that person out. You know, make fire fall on them. Who's watched The Chosen? There's a funny part. So we're waiting for them to receive the hurt, to receive the pain, to receive the justice, the punishment. That's waiting for the wheel to turn. So it's just as well you go and yell at the snake at the bush. It's not going to help you. Oh, snake, I hope you get bitten by another snake. Yeah. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help me. When there's pain, the moment that snake bites you, you've got to go to the doctor. It's probably healthy to go see the doctor before he bit you anyway, but I mean, you don't wait 3 or 4 days with that bite and then you go to the doctor. The moment there's pain, because remember earlier we said that we're not sweeping it under the carpet, we're not forgetting the sin. The pain is an indicator, it's a symptom, it's showing me, hey, Mark, something's wrong, go get help. All right? We need to realize that if the pain wasn't there, if you didn't know the snake bit you, if you had no pain, what's going to happen? You're still going to die from the venom. Even if you don't know it, if you ignore it, whether you know it's there or not, the venom's going to kill you. You have no choice in that. Because if you ignore it, if you ignore that pain, that's the thing that leads to bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. This is a very, very, very powerful verse. In Luke 23, verse 44, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Do you think Jesus ignored the pain in this moment? In this moment, he was nailed to the cross after being abused physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He was knackered. He was gone. They couldn't even recognize his face. That's how bruised he was. His body, his flesh was torn from his skin. Do you think he was there on the cross ignoring all the pain when he said, forgive them? Because it's a choice. It's not a feeling. In that moment, I wouldn't feel like forgiving anyone. If you were the reason I was on that cross, yeah, I'd be mad at you. Then I would make fire rain. But luckily, I'm not God, so you guys are safe. You're happy. For all of humanity's sins, he bore the pain so that we can be free, so that we can forgive and be forgiven. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26 says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Are you going to allow another person to determine whether or not you want to win your flesh or your soul, or you want to have a relationship with the Lord? Are you going to let another human get in the way of your relationship with God, the purposes and the plans that he has for your life? Or are you going to let down your fleshly desires, let them go, pursue the Lord, and walk in that forgiveness so that you can be with your Father, so that you can be free from all this bitterness and all this resentment? Because something I've realized in my own life is that forgiveness is both a burden and a privilege. Because it's hard to do. It's a hard thing to carry. But once you've done it, man, you're free. You're so free. So is your freedom worth the burden that you want to carry? What do you want? Do you want the burden or the freedom? That's your choice. How do we forgive? Mark, you've said why and what and how and who and where. You've done all the W questions. But how do we do it? How do we do it? Pretty simple, really. It's my 3-step plan. But you can see the last one says it's not easy. It's simple, but not easy. Be emotionally vulnerable to God. Right? When you're emotionally vulnerable to someone, you bond with them. You build intimacy with them. You build trust with that person. You get to know each other better, right? And if you know your Father's heart, if you know his love, his character, his comfort, all the rest will come easy. Because remember, God didn't create prayer because he needs it. He put it in place because we need it. We need to be heard. We need to be seen. We need to be experienced. So we can go to our Father and say, listen, Dad, Gus hurt me. Sort it out for me, please. We need to choose to forgive them for what they did and how it made us feel. Because it's important to recognize how it made you feel. Because the snake bit me and it hurt. Now it hurt, now I can go to the doctor. You see, when Gus bullied me, Lord, I forgive Gus for bullying me. It was not right, that's what he did. But Lord, it made me feel like less than human. It made me feel like I'm nothing, I'm worthless. It made me feel like I am just discarded meat, that nobody cares about me, nobody loves me, nobody's going to fight for me, I'm not strong enough. All of these things that I felt, all this pain, we need to recognize that. Because if you can take that to the doctor, he can give you the right medication. Because you're not going to go to the doctor with a cold and then he gives you an injection for whatever. He needs to give you medication for your cold. Realize it's not easy. Because again, it's a choice. We have to take up our own cross, and that's not an easy thing to do. We have to let our flesh down. We need to say no to what we want. We have to say yes to what God wants for us. Because it's not easy. It really isn't. It's an ongoing process. You're going to forgive today. You're going to forgive tomorrow. You're going to forgive the day after that, the day after that, year after that. You might get over it. You might get to a stage where you don't even feel that resentment at all. Like you've forgiven them completely and the pain, the scar is healed. You didn't have to, like it's not bothering you anymore. You can move on with your life. But if that scar needs to heal first. Snake doesn't bite me now and then all of a sudden I'm healed. It takes a while. In my own life, as Mark, I had to forgive so many people. And the one thing I've noticed is it's usually the people closest to us. Not because they're bad people, but it's because their opinions are way more important to us than the other people that we don't know, right? If my wife says she loves me, oh, that's nice. You know, I feel that, I take that, I appreciate that, and that's important to me. I want her to tell me she loves me. But if some random guy on the street tells me he loves me, yeah, I'm going to fight this guy. I don't know you. You know, get away from me. Because their opinion is strange because I don't have a relationship with them. But I have a relationship with my wife, so I know where that comes from. Similar with if she tells me, yes, Mark, you can't sing. I'll probably cry myself to sleep, and then I'll tell Jesus, you know what? Give her a better attitude. It's not me, it's her. She doesn't know good music. But But if the same guy on the street tells me you can't sing, guess what I'll do as Mark? I'll sing louder. I don't care about your opinion. I'll show you, you know. It won't hurt me as much. I won't take it as personal. So don't be scared when you realize the person you have to forgive is someone close to you. Don't be scared. It's normal. It's going to happen. Don't let that intimidate you. But they don't need to know that you've forgiven them, because it's not about them. It's about you and God. Because remember, it's not reconciliation. If Jared, my friend, if he stepped on my toe and he hurt me, I don't have to go to Jared and say, Jared, I forgive you for that time you stepped on my toe. You think he's going to remember when he stepped on my toe? No, he's going on with his life. He's chilling there in the bush, waiting for it to set ablaze, you know, waiting for Moses to come. But he doesn't care. He moved on with his life. He might not even realize he stepped on my toe, right? But I took that. So if I then bring it up, what's going to happen with him? Oh, I stepped on your toe. Now he's stepping on my toe. You're using this whole forgiveness thing as a front to get back at me. He doesn't need to know I've forgiven him. It's between me and my Father. I can choose to love him, can still be his friend. I'm just not gonna be barefoot around him. I'm gonna wear steel toe boots, right? That's my boundary. But we're still gonna be friends. I'm still gonna love him. Because it's not about him, it's about me and God. He's not the key to my forgiveness. He's not the key to my relationship with God. I am, and Jesus is. So it's not about him. I'm picking on you, Jared, but it's okay. I love you. I love you. I really do. But it's going to be an ongoing process. Because every time I see Jared, immediately I'm going to, hey, how are you? You know? And eventually I'll step a bit closer until one day I'm comfortable around him again. Because I've realized, okay, that's where he steps, and I've analyzed everything he does, and I've set up my boundary, you know? But it's not going to... Yeah? You get what I'm saying? There's no words for that. We're not going to clash because of something like that. And I'm not going to allow him stepping on my toes to keep me from my Father. It doesn't make sense. To me, it's absolutely useless to hold on to something that's going to keep you from your God. It's going to keep you from your purpose, from your blessings, from everything that God has in store for you. It's not worth it. It really isn't. It really isn't. Because at the end of the day, you get to choose. Am I going to hold on to this bitterness, or am I going to go for the freedom? Am I going to be stuck, or am I going to move forward? Am I going to live? I'm going to, hello, Jared, I love you. You know? It's your choice. You choose where you want to be. But at the end of the day, it's not about you. Or it's not about the snake. It's about you, and it's about God. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. You set yourself free with forgiveness. I'm gonna do like a prayer, and I want you to pray with me, but in your heads. And I'm gonna instruct you, because it's like a step-by-step prayer thingy. I'll stick it out, and then I'll send it to Renata to put it on the WhatsApp list as well. But we're just gonna do a quick prayer. Think about one person, or two people, or 10 people, or 70 times 7 people who've hurt you. And think of their name in your head, right? Do you have them? I've got you, Jared. Yeah, I've got... So we're going to do a quick prayer. And we're gonna think the person's name, because don't say it out loud, they're sitting next to you. Husbands, be careful. Wives have long nails, and they pinch. They pinch hard. That's why I have to wear long jeans now. Right, so let's just pray together. Lord, I forgive, and then you think that person's name. And you say, Lord, I forgive Quiz for what they did to me or what they're still doing. Lord, I forgive Quiz for bullying me. Lord, this is how I felt. I felt rejected. I felt like nothing. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me for holding on to that bitterness, for holding on to the resentment. Forgive me for running away from you after my own selfish desires, for my own selfish way of thinking, my own selfish justice, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would set me free from the bitterness and the anger that I have in my heart, and help me to be free from the pain and from the hurt. Lord, heal my heart. Lord, I pray that you would bring your mercy into my life so that I can show that same mercy to other people, Lord. Because when I stand in front of you, Lord, I want to be judged with mercy. I really want to be judged with mercy, and I want to be judged with forgiveness. So help me to stay in that space, Lord. Lord, I pray for your joy, your peace, and your patience to live in my life. And help me to continuously forgive them for what they've done to me or what they're doing. Because I know, Lord, it's an ongoing process. I know it's not going to be a one-and-done thing. Help me to have the wisdom to not tolerate the sin, to stop the cycle of sin. It's both healthy for me and the person hurting me, Lord. Help me to set up healthy boundaries. Lord, we love you so much, and we honor you for everything that you've done, Lord. It's because of you that we can sit here today and even speak about forgiveness, Lord. But Jesus, you set a standard that we have to follow. Lord, and that's a crazy standard. It is a big standard, big shoes to fill, Lord. But you can help us to be like that. You can give us the wisdom, the discernment, the strength, and the courage to continuously forgive people, Lord. Lord, it's such a big thing. Some of us have been bitten by anacondas. Some of us just by small house snakes, Lord. Some of us, we have so much hurt and so much pain in us. And the others, not so much, Lord. But the size of the pain doesn't matter, Lord. The fact is, we have pain. We need to come see you. Help us, Lord, to deal with that, to work through it. Lord, we love you. Amen. Before we leave, sit down. Otherwise, I'm going to pray for forgiveness for you. Right? So we do have a prayer team. So if you feel that you need forgiveness or you want to forgive someone else and you just want someone to pray with you, please, 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 please come forward. Come sit, have some fun, forgive the people, be set free. It's just for your benefit. And really, I don't care about your forgiveness. I care about my forgiveness. You should care about your forgiveness. Because you're the one carrying the consequence, remember. I love you, I really do, and I hope that you have a good day. We have coffee, lacquer coffee, and then we've got regular lacquer coffee. So, the cheap lacquer coffee. All right, so please go help yourselves, enjoy, have a lovely day, and I'll see you next week.